there's a scripture in John chapter 10. You don't have to turn there, but Jesus said, the thief, the devil, comes not but for to rob, to kill, and to destroy. But he said, I am come, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. The Amplified says, have life in abundance to the full till it overflows. Why did Jesus come? He came to give us an abundant life, a life that's overflowing. Amen? Now, you may not feel like you're really overflowing today, but let me tell you something. It belongs to each and every one of us. Amen? And you know, the other thing is God wants us to enjoy the ride. Okay? Enjoy the journey. You know, faith is a journey, isn't it? How many of you are there in this room right now? There are certain things you're trusting the Lord for in your life. Okay? Now, just because these two eyes haven't seen it yet doesn't mean that something's not working. Okay? So we can rejoice for the fact that we know God is working behind the scenes. Even though our eyes don't see it, we will see it. Now, that kind of leads me into what we're going to talk about today, because we're going to start a new series called Now Faith Is. I'd say about two and a half weeks ago, I was just spending time with the Lord like I normally do, you know, and all of a sudden He started dropping some revelation in my heart about, you know, right when you think you've known, you've heard everything you can possibly hear. I've heard thousands of faith sermons since 1979. Thousands. And we don't know everything, do we? But when God breathes something on us and God downloads something inside of us, then it's like, where have I been? Why haven't I seen this? Okay? So we're going to take you on a little journey today. We're going to start today and we're going to pick it up next week. And this is so important because I believe this is fresh revelation. And I believe the Lord will help me to simplify it on the subject of faith, so that we can actually use it like a tool. Carpenters have tools. Plumbers have tools. Electricians have tools. Amen? And if they don't have the specific tools for their trade, they really can't do their job. Okay? Well, God has given us the tool of faith to use to work for us in every single area of life. Your faith already worked for you when you received Christ. For your Ephesians 2:8 says you're saved by grace through faith. So you used your faith, didn't you?
That's right.
And you know, you stop and think about it for a minute. The greatest miracle that ever existed is the new birth. When you went from darkness to light just by believing on Jesus. That's the greatest miracle of all. Yet you can't see it with a natural eye. Do you know you've already received the greatest miracle in the world? No, just hang in there with me now. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good here. You've already seen the biggest miracle, greater than an arm growing out, a leg, you know, a heart developing. The greatest miracle is the new birth, going from darkness to light, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. You've already received that. So you had to have had great faith for that to happen. That's greater than the splitting of the Red Sea. You went from spiritual darkness to spiritual light. Whoa, that's as big as it gets. So when you approach faith from that vantage point to say, I've already won the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? We've already been there and done that. You know what I'm saying? Those guys that go to the Super Bowl for the first time, they're pretty excited about it. But you know, when they've been there and they've been there and they've been there, it doesn't feel quite the same. You know what I'm saying? But when you know that you've conquered something with your faith in Christ and you've already whooped the devil, amen, then when you face other situations in this life, you're coming at it from a fresh perspective of, I've already beat the devil. No, there wasn't enough devils in this earth to hold me back from getting saved. If the devil was so powerful, then why did you get saved? Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Okay. Exodus chapter 3, if you would. Let's go over there. In Exodus chapter 3, let's take a look at some verses here. This will bring back a lot of memories. If you've ever watched the Ten Commandments, We're going to see it right out of the scripture, right out of the Bible here. And I want to read a few verses here because I want to lay a foundation of what we're talking about here. The title of our subject today is Now Faith Is. Now. Everybody say, now.
Now.
Faith is. Notice that the word now and is, or that's Hebrews 11, 1. The word now and is are two present tense words. Not past, not future. If it ain't now, it isn't faith. I'm getting ahead of myself here. But in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, it says, Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father. That's not talking about the Beverly Hillbillies here, okay? It says, Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. And he came to the mountain of God, even of Oreb. And the angel, verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. So this is a tension grabber here, all right? Verse 3 says, And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight in the why the bush is not burnt. And 4 it says, When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, and God called him out of the midst of the bush, he said, Moses, Moses. I can still hear that in the movie. Moses. And he said, Here am I. We call this a sign and a wonder. He sees a bush that's on fire, but yet it's not burning it up. It's like, what in the world is this? The Bible talks about signs and wonders. Well, what's a wonder? Makes you wonder. It made him wonder, what in the world is this? And God is still a God of signs and wonders. He hasn't lost that. Okay? And so he said, verse 4 says, Here am I, Lord. And verse 5 says, He said, Draw not thither, but put off the shoes of thy feet, and the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. 6 says, Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Any one of us would be too in that situation. And then verse 7, and he said, the Lord said, I have surely seen. Now notice this verse 7. This is really important right here. I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Now notice that God sees when you're afflicted. When you're going through a test and a trial in your life, and some are worse than others, right? There's some things that are more of a lighter nature. They're just more harassing, you know what I mean, to deal with. But then there's those times where you go through something that's really tough. Man, you got to grit your teeth, you know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. But notice that in verse 7, God says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. You know, God sees your affliction. He sees the stuff that you and I go through. But notice, he doesn't stop there, because verse 8 says, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up into a land, unto a good and a large, unto a land that flows with milk and honey, unto the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Verse 9 says, Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have seen the oppression wherein the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore. God's talking to Moses here. He says, Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my children, my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And verse 11, And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and to bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Most of us would probably say that too. Lord, why are you choosing me, the most insignificant, that you would choose me to do this? Are you with me? Verse 12. And he said, The Lord said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain, the very mountain he was at. Okay? And then 13 says, And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I am come to the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me. And they shall say unto me, what is his name? Now pay close attention to this. What is his name? And what shall I say unto them? And God, verse 14, here's the key right here. And God said to Moses, now he asked him a question. Then he said, when I go back to the Israelites and I say, the God of your fathers has sent me, what am I going to say? Who is his name? What's his name? Okay? So he asked this question. And so in verse 14, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Everybody say, I am.
I am.
One more time.
I am.
Okay. See, God's name reveals everything about him. Amen? God's name reveals everything about his nature and about him. I am that I am. Praise God. Say, I am.
I am.
All right. Now, what in the world does that have to do with faith? Notice it doesn't say when God told him his name, he didn't say, I was that I was, or I will be that I will be. Okay? If he said, I was, that's talking about the past. Are you with me? Or I will be, that's talking about the future. But what did God tell him? He says, I am that I am. That's present tense. Okay? He's called the great I am. Now, Josh, if you'll bring up those scriptures, all this bunch of scriptures, I want you to notice that Jesus Christ, he is God manifest in the flesh. All right? So we're talking thousands of years later, after Exodus, Jesus said in John 6 right here, he says, I am the bread of life. Notice, I am. John 8, I am the light of the world. John 8, 58, before Abraham was, I am. Amen. John 10, 9, I am the door. John 10, 11, I am the good shepherd. There's that word I am again. John 11, 25, I am the resurrection and the life. And then lastly, the last two scriptures, John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then finally, John 15, 1, I am the true vine. These are just a few scriptures here regarding Jesus Christ. But he is now. I am. Okay? When we're talking about the subject of faith, it's always going to be in the present tense. Okay? If you go to Matthew, let's go over there real quick here, and I want to show you something here. Matthew chapter 16. Now, here's what I want to bring across today is the tense of God's Word will determine everything as far as us receiving from Him. Okay? It's so important how we, with the tense that we use. When people say things, for example, and I'll get more into this as we go, when we say things like, I'm believing God for healing. Okay, I'm believing God for healing. Do you know that that's not now? That's future. Okay? It sounds like faith. I'm believing God for healing. I'm believing God for healing. I'm believing God to meet this bill, whatever it is, you know what I mean? And that is future. Hope is always has to deal with the future, where faith is in the now, right now, present tense. Okay? So anything that we put off or relegate to the future is not faith, it's just hope. Now, we need hope because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Okay? You hope for healing. You hope for a need to be met and so forth. But faith brings that hope into the now, right now, where you possess it right now. You possess it right now. Okay? But When God told Moses in regard to his question, who shall I say sent me? You know, what am I going to tell the Israelites? What is his name? He said, you tell them, I am that I am. Okay? Say, I am.
I am.
All right? Not I was, not I will be, I am right now. I have seen some of the greatest miracles happen like this when you put things into the present tense. Not I will be healed. When you stand there in the face of adversity and you stand there in the face of pain in your body, a symptom in your body, and you say, I am healed, and there's still symptoms in your body, you are declaring the present tense of God right now in your life. You're saying, I'm not going to be healed. I was healed. No, I am healed right now. Because the Lord is always in the present. He's not in the past. He's not in the future. He's always in the right now. Okay? So it's so important how we, the way we think in this area. I am healed. Say, I am healed.
I am healed.
I am blessed.
I am blessed.
See, we're that's right now. Okay? And when you put it into the now, see, did you know you're already healed? Did you know that? I know this isn't healing school. We'll just put a little plug in here. But you're already healed from every disease and symptom and sickness you could ever face in this life. You're already healed. Well, brother, that could have fooled me. Last time I checked, my back still hurts. Last time I checked, my knee still hurts or my leg hurts or whatever. Okay? My shoulder, my eyeball, whatever, you know? What are we looking to for evidence? Okay? You know, if you ask most people, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but if you ask most people, how do you know when you're healed? How would you know if you're healed? Well, the pain would be gone. The sickness would be gone, right? If you ask most people that, how do you know when you're healed? Well, the pain would be gone if you're having pain. How do you know when your need's met? Well, when the need gets met, right? Nope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, all right? The evidence. Another translation says faith is the title deed. The title deed. Anybody here ever have a title deed with something you own, a vehicle or something or whatever? Okay. That piece of paper is, what is it? It's proof of ownership. Okay. And a lot of this year, you're going to get, instead of the bank owning your car and the bank owning your home, you're going to get the title deed because you're going to be the sole ownership.
Amen.
You mark my words. We're going to see a lot of this happen this year. Amen. But it happens to people that want it and believe for it. Amen? But faith is the title deed of the thing that you've hoped for. Amen? Glory be to God. We have a couple of title deeds at home for some vehicles. Amen? That were given to us, actually, two vehicles. All right? And you look at that without even seeing the vehicle, you can look at the paper and say, I own this particular vehicle. Okay? Someone say, well, I can't see the car, but I see the paper. Well, the paper is the proof that you own it. So what is the proof of the fact that you're healed? What evidence are you looking at? The first and foremost thing that we need to look at, the piece of evidence that we need to look at, is the title deed, the Word of God. That is proof of ownership. Are you with me now? Do you get that? Okay. So if you're looking for the manifestation to be the proof, you're looking to the wrong thing. That's still being that's being governed by what we see and what we hear by the five senses. Okay? Anybody can believe they're healed after they feel healed. That's why Jesus said, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it now. And then you'll have it. Praise God. I'm getting excited here. Let's go to Matthew 16. I want to show you something here. With this thought in mind, they asked that Moses was asking God, what should I say is his name? He said, God said, I am that I am. Now let's fast forward this all the way to the New Testament here. Matthew 16, starting with verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" He's asking his disciples this question. He's curious. And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." See, they even believed in reincarnation back then. These guys have been long gone. Okay, these are Old Testament people here he's talking about. Well, that didn't seem to satisfy the curiosity of the Master Jesus. And he said this after verse 14. He said unto them, his disciples, "But who do you say that," notice this, "I am?" You know, it's really not important what others are saying about Christ as much as it is, what are we saying about Him? It's what we say about Him that affects us. You can be living side by side and the blessing of God has fallen on you and the curse is on your neighbor. Okay? It doesn't have to be that way. When you're in Christ, you are the blessed. I mean, you can't get any more blessed than you are when you're in Christ, blessed, empowered to prosper. In every realm. That's what that means. You're empowered to prosper. Your body, your marriage, your relationships, your finances, every area of your life. Isn't that good news? Everybody smile a little bit this morning. Amen. Your face won't crack and fall apart. Don't worry about it. You can smile a little bit. Amen. But Jesus said, verse 15, "Who do you say that I am?" He's looking for a response from His followers. And you know what? He's looking for a response from us too. He said, here's what others are saying. You're like, well, you're maybe Jeremiah or Elijah or one of the other prophets reincarnated, you know. But he said, "Who do you say that I am?" I'm looking for a response, he's saying in essence here. I'm looking for a response. Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Well, he got the right answer there, didn't he? Hallelujah. He said, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter spoke up. Now, they all could have spoke up, but Peter spoke up. And sometimes he said the right thing. Other times he had that foot and mouth disease. You know what I mean? Where he put his foot in his mouth, and we'll see that in a minute. But Peter was, he was a quick responder. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't work. In this case, he was right on the money right here. Peter said this, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." In verse 17, "And Jesus answered and said unto Peter, Blessed art thou." Now, why is he blessed? Because of what he said. You see this? Why was he blessed? Because of what he said about Jesus. He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." So, Peter got some information downloaded from heaven. And he said, flesh and blood, people with bodies didn't reveal this to you, Peter, but my Father which is in heaven. Now you know at this point, Peter's probably feeling pretty good. You would too, right? And Jesus himself starts complimenting you and says, "You know, you got the right answer, dude. You're saying the right thing." He's probably feeling really good, right? Well, we see here, verse 18 says, "But I say unto thee, thou art Peter." That is Peter, which means little stone, he says. "And upon this rock," or large, massive rock, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Now, a lot of us came up in particular denominations that preached that Peter was the first pope. Now, we're not knocking people, we're not knocking denominations, but this is, people come up with these ideas that, you know, Peter is the first guy here, he's the first pope, and he's the first one. We're going to build the church on him. Okay? Because it sounds like Jesus is saying, we're going to build this church on you, Peter. You're the rock. You know what I'm saying? But that's impossible, because I'll show you and I'll prove that to you in a minute here. But Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, how many of you know God's still building churches? Amen? And the gates of hell will try to prevail sometimes. Amen? Sometimes the devil tries to cause division and cause problems and cause issues and things like this. But, you know, we have to just learn to laugh at him in the face, the devil. He's a liar. The devil hates revelation knowledge. You know what? The devil hates when you come to a church that preaches revelation knowledge, how to get victory over him. So he will try his best to keep people in a dead area spiritually where they're not hearing anything that's going to change their lives. Okay? You're looking at a person that walked in constant defeat in my life growing up. And when I found out from the Word of God, I found out what belonged to me, I'm telling you, I was like a starving child that hadn't eaten in weeks. And I just started grabbing onto things because I wanted victory so bad. I was so tired of losing in life. I was so tired of being defeated in life. Okay? I don't have time to go on with all that stuff, but I wanted victory so much. And when I found out the victory was in the gospel and the Word of God, it began to change my life as a young teenager and in my 20s and stuff, and even to this day. Praise God. But the rock that Jesus said, I'll build my church on, is the rock of revealed knowledge. That's what he's talking about here. Jesus says, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The rock that he's talking about here is the rock that Peter had revealed knowledge to him that he was the Christ. Okay? Now, how many of you know that you can be taught by the Holy Spirit in your spirit apart from your five physical senses? Peter got information to him that didn't come through a college that he was, or school that he was sitting in right here. No one taught him this. The Lord revealed to him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's why Jesus said, I'm going to build my church on this rock. What's that rock? The rock of revealed knowledge. Are you with me now? Now, and then verse 19, he says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, jump down to verse 20. And I want to show you here, this is all part of the same context here, that this could not have been true where Peter was the rock that Jesus was going to build the church on. Because we see something here in verse 20. And he charged his disciples that way that they should tell no man that Jesus, that he was Jesus the Christ. And from that time forth, he showed his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem to suffer many things of the elders and chief priests of scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. And Peter, everybody say Peter. Peter. Same guy, same chapter, just a few minutes later, after he was praised by Jesus because of the right answer. Peter, verse 22, Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Everybody say, bad idea. He started rebuking Jesus. Bad mistake. And he began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. And he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. For thou art an offense unto me, and thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now, he went from inflation to deflation. Peter, and just a few minutes before that, he asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you are blessed, Simon, because flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to you. And just a few short sentences later, Jesus began to talk to them about what was going to happen. They didn't understand everything at this point about him going. They didn't understand. What do you mean going to the cross and dying and so forth and so on? They're thinking, no, stay with us. Let's make you a king. That's what they wanted to do, is make him a king. Well, Jesus is the King of Kings, but the first time that he came as a suffering servant. His second coming, he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're coming back with him to rule and reign on the earth. Are you with me now? And they missed this, okay? They got it revealed later. They figured it out. But Peter meant well. How many of you know sometimes people can have good intentions but say the wrong thing? Peter was saying, oh, no, don't think about going to the cross. Don't, you know, we'll take care of you. That's what they began to say later, right? Peter even said that if everybody denies you, I won't deny you. Remember that? Well, if Peter was the rock that Jesus was building a church on, it failed right away. Because now Jesus turns and says to the spirit behind, he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, how would you like someone to say that to you? You're just trying to help someone, you know, and they look to you and they say, get behind me, Satan. Amen? I don't know if you want to sit down and have coffee after that. You know what I mean? Get thee behind me, Satan. But there is a spirit realm, isn't there? And something else is now talking to Peter. First off, he's hearing from the Lord. He heard from the Lord about, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, the same day, just a few short minutes later, now he's hearing satanic wisdom. And that wisdom is, don't go to the cross. Jesus saw that right away. That was a temptation. But he knew he had to go. Jesus, see, he was born for the purpose of dying. Do you know that? The whole reason he came to this earth and became flesh is so that ultimately he would die for the sins of the whole world, you and I. And the devil was trying to talk him out of doing that. And that's why Peter picked up on that. He said, oh, you can't do this. Don't do this. There's another way. And that's why he said, get thee behind me, Satan. You don't savor the things of God. All right? So my point being is this. Peter was not the rock. It was the revealed knowledge from heaven that he said, that's the rock that I'm going to build my church on. Amen? Yeah, let me say this to you. When God reveals something to you about a particular subject, they can't beat it out of you with a stick. Amen. And that's the way it should be. When you get, I'm going to bump the heat up a little bit. Eric, Josh. Okay, and when you get a hold of something, I never forget, very first time I had, that I remember hearing about healing. I was working immediately out of high school. And I was working for a mining company delivering mining parts to places in Ohio, West Virginia, especially West Virginia, and Pennsylvania. And I would deliver mining parts to these different areas, you know. And as I was doing that, I was on I-70, my red Ford pickup truck, which wasn't mine, it was my boss's. And I was going down I-70 east towards New Stanton to get onto the turnpike. And I remember exactly where it was. Every time I drive through there, I see the same basic area that it was. I was listening to a guy named R.W. Shambach on the radio. I don't know if you ever heard of him before, but he was a powerful evangelist that preached the gospel powerfully. And I had never in my entire life heard somebody preach as bold as this man preached about the healing power of God. And I'm like, and I had this little AM radio in my truck, okay? This is back in like 1980, 81, right around that time. And he is preaching about the healing power of God, strong and powerful. And it was a 15-minute broadcast. Every day is 15 minutes. I'd try to catch that if I could, you know. Sometimes I was too far out, you know, and I could barely get it, come in and out. You know how the old AM radios were? It would just barely come in and out. And if you lean a certain way, you can hear it better. If you touch the glass, it sounds better, you know. So, and I'm dealing, this is in the springtime, and I'm dealing with some serious allergies in my eyes. You know, some major swelling and just a mess. Every spring this would happen. And he's preaching about being redeemed from the curse of sickness and you can claim your healing. And I'm hearing this for the first time in my life. And he's a preacher. He's not a teacher. He's a preacher. I mean, he's proclaiming boldly, you know, you can be healed, take it now, and so forth and so on. That's what I remember. And so I'm just in my truck all by myself, except God was in there with me. And I decided, you know, because one of the things he said was, he goes, you got to put your foot down on the devil's neck. You got to just say enough is enough. You got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you got to speak to this thing and command it to go, you know. So I decided right there in the cab of my truck, I was mad. And you know what? It's okay to get mad. In a good way. It's good to have a righteous indignation. Say, I'm not going to let this devil run over me. I'm tired of letting a curse run rampant in my life in this area. Okay? Well, I did it. I'd never done this before. Say, there's a first time for everything, right? And so I screamed at the top of my lungs. I said, Satan, I won't say it like I'd probably scare you if I said it the way I did it. I said, you get out of my body. I command every, however I said it, I just said, you get out, I rebuke you, command sickness to go in Jesus' name. And God is my witness, within 3 minutes, every symptom left my body. Within 3 minutes. I was young in the faith. I was green. I was new. I knew so little. But you know, there's people, and think about this, there's people in Jesus' ministry that never heard 500 healing sermons. They heard one. In Paul's ministry and the apostles' ministry, they heard one sermon and they got healed. Think about that. You don't have to have 500 sermons before you have faith to be healed or something like that. You can hear one time and you decide, you know what, I just believe that. Amen? There's a lot of skepticism sometimes with people that they want to, that you got to prove this to them, and you know, coming from that kind of a background. But we need to have a simple childlike faith that when we're hearing the Word of God, let's say, you know what, I may not understand all that, but I believe that. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for a childlike. Jesus said, you can't become great in the kingdom of God unless you become like a little child. Amen. What's one of the characteristics about, I can think of two off the bat, characteristics. Little children are quick to believe. When my kids were young, I could have said, you know, Josh Kelly, there's a pink elephant out in the front yard right now. Guess what would have happened? They would have ran to the window, threw back the drapes, and said, where is it? Okay? I remember one time when they were small, We faked like there was a Santa Claus outside, you know, at Christmas time. And we're thinking it's going to bless them. It scared the tar out of them. We had some those bells, you know, that they have on the sleighs and stuff. And I was out there ringing it outside, you know, and we came in. It scared the tar out of them. We were trying to bless them, you know, because they thought he was out there, you know. And but a characteristic of a little child is if you tell them something, they're going to believe it. Okay? Jesus said, if you're going to become great in the kingdom of God, become like a little child. Become teachable. Okay? They don't question. They just say, yeah. You tell them something. They don't doubt it for a second. You know what I'm talking about. The second characteristic of a little child is they're quick to forgive. Kids are quick to forgive. You never know, they can get in a squabble, and 5 minutes later, 2 minutes later, they're playing with each other again. You get two adults in a squabble, it might be 10 years before they talk again. You know what I'm saying? Are you with me? Praise God. But Jesus, in closing today, he's looking for the same response from us about who do we believe that Jesus is. Well, yeah, Jesus was a healer. I know that when I get to heaven, I'll be healed. You know, that's not good enough to be healed or delivered. So it's the tense of how you're looking at things. And this is what we're going to get into next week, the tense of how you call things in your life. I am going to be healed. Now, that's future. That's future. There's no power in that. But when you say, I am healed, I am blessed. Now, don't get me wrong. There's times I've stood there and I said, I am healed. My body said, your body has a voice. Your body says, could have fooled me. Because your five senses will fight you, right? Your five senses will fight you. What you see, what you hear, what you taste, what you smell, what you feel with your hands. Those things can deceive you. But if you're basing what you believe on what the Bible says, you're guaranteed to get what the Bible says every single time. When you stand in the face of apparent lack and you say, I am blessed in Jesus' name. I'm the blessed of the Lord. I'm the seed of Abraham. If you're in Christ, you're Abraham's seed. You're an heir according to the promise. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Amen? Everybody laugh a little bit. Amen? And you have to do it by faith sometimes, all right? You may not feel like laughing. You might feel like crying today. Okay? Some of y'all think you're the only ones that go through things. You ought to live with us sometimes. And some of the stuff we face sometimes. Some of the hardships, some of the things we deal with in the natural sometimes. But you know what? We have to learn to laugh. Because that intimidates the devil. That's really the highest form of faith. Ha, ha, ha. You say, well, where do you get that from? Well, the Bible says Jesus, God sits on his throne. He sees what the devil's doing. He sits on his throne in Psalms 8, and it says he laughs at the devil. Can you see God up there on his throne? Ha, ha, ha. Because you thought he was so somber and serious all the time, he couldn't even crack a smile. Let me tell you something. Who do you think created joy and laughter? You know, heaven's a joyful place. Nobody's depressed in heaven. Amen? No one's taking depression pills in heaven. No one's seeing a psychologist or psychiatrist in heaven. They're not. Because they got the joy of the Lord, and the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Why can't we as a body today? I know you're believing for things. I am too. There's things I'm believing God for, trusting Him for. But why can't we get excited right now as if it's already here? That's faith. When you can act like you have, if what you're believing for showed up right now, how would you act? If your house just got paid off right now, supernaturally, your debt, your mortgage got paid off, or mortgages got paid off right now, how would you act? Ah, there you go. Amen. Well, what if that symptom completely left your body? How would you respond to that right now? You'd be like, whoa. Amen. What if all of a sudden you had $100,000 in your bank account? Feel pretty good, wouldn't you? Already starting to feel good, right? See, that's how we need to treat faith, because that's the deal. That's the real deal, right? That's the title deed. Okay? So who does, he said to his disciples, who do you say that I am? So we got to start saying things in the present tense. I am healed. I am blessed. I am forgiven. These are all the things that Jesus Christ has done for us. Those of you in this auditorium right now that have your own business, okay, that you have your own business, you do not have to pray for God to bless your business. It is already blessed. And what a better way to deal with that would be to walk into that place. I don't care if you have an office in your home or whatever. If that's your place of office, you know, that's where my office is. And you walk into that place and you say, this business is blessed. I got customers coming to me hand over fist, right and left. They're coming to me. Amen. Or if you have investments out there, you put your faith out to say, my investments are blessed. They're prospering. And you start calling it like it is right now. That's when you're going to see the turnaround like that. Okay? Instead of letting Wall Street govern your thinking and your mouth, especially our mouth, but let the Word of God determine what's in our heart and in our mouth. That's what we're going to see. Oh, say, can you see? You all know that song, don't you? If you say it, you will see it. when you say it, you will see it. Praise God. I wanted to leave you with that here today. Amen.